people that vacuum and clean the windows, and you know, that's awesome. We're all in this together, and I like that. One of the things that's going on here too is this letter in Ephesians that Paul's writing is he's recognizing that we're all in this together. And so Ephesus that he's writing to is a very large city. It's a city full of ideas and lots of philosophies, full of worship to Greek gods and to Roman gods and into self-knowledge. And Paul had a very effective ministry when he was in Ephesus. He acquired many followers while he was there. He preached and he spoke about the kingdom of God. He baptized in the name of Jesus. He was there in Ephesus about 2 years. Had an impactful work. Years later, he finds himself in prison for his faith because he's a follower of Christ, not because he stole some bread or he hotwired a car. No, he's there because of his faith in Jesus Christ. And so he's writing back to the church in Ephesus. And he writes a great gospel message to each and every one. He gives them lots of praise. And then he writes about how he's made alive in Christ, how each of us are made alive in Christ, how Jew and Gentile are reconciled together in Christ. That's huge, how Jew and Gentile are reconciled together in Christ. That's something new. And he urges them and he beseeches them. In fact, he begs them, stay unified. Stay unified. The scripture passages read, do not live like the Gentiles live. They separate themselves out. They follow Roman gods and Greek gods and other philosophies, and they serve themselves. And be unified together in Christ. Do you ever feel a little bit different than the world? Just a measure of your own existence in your own life. Do you ever feel a little bit different than the world? Or maybe somehow you would like to be detached from the world, right? In the craziness of the planet. Beam me up, Scotty. There's no intelligent life down here. Heard that? Maybe sometimes not so much you only want to be like or feel as if you're separate and different than the world, but the reality is you are. And that tension that you feel, that you're experiencing, that desire to not be like the world is very accurate. And it is a truth. Do not live like the Gentiles, our scriptures say. Well, the scriptures also tell us, do not live like those Jews. So, what? You're either a Gentile or you're a Jew. Do not live like the Gentile, do not live like the Jewish. What am I supposed to? Behold, I am doing something new. There's something new that's happening. That sounds familiar. There's something new that's happening. And God's working to do something different. God's trying to do something different by the Holy Spirit of God in you and through you. You are a new creation. If you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and been marked by the Holy Spirit of God, you're a new creation. Old is past and the new has come. And these passages of Scripture give us some pretty good foundational examples of how to walk as a new creation. And also how not to walk as a new creation. See, I learned a lot of things from my parents. A lot of things. Some things, what not to do. What not to do. I've watched and been around and learned a lot of things from pastors. Sometimes, what not to do. I sit in men's meetings every week with men and husbands, and I learn a lot of times what not to do. I have a wife. Whom I live with, I have learned many things what not to do often. She's training me well. Is it even possible to live a positive life in a negative world? Is it even possible to live a godly life in an evil infested world? I would say absolutely that it is. And with the Lord's help, you will not just survive, you will thrive. Paul is in prison for his faith, and he's writing back to some believers that he's had an encounters with, some he's never met, but he's writing them back saying, stay true, keep in the faith, don't live like the rest of the world. And maybe you too can end up in prison. Wow. That's the harsh reality of that time. It's a harsh reality still for many parts of the world. And becoming more and more challenging for us to walk in the ways of Christ. To not just survive, but to thrive. To thrive. Was Paul thriving in prison? Oh, absolutely he was. Did he have a deep-seated joy that the world could not take away? Oh, yeah. Was he free to run? Free to dance? Free? Oh, absolutely he was. Free on the inside, baby. Free on the inside. If you've ever been in love, you know, once you're in love, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world. It just does not matter what's going on in the world. I have been in love. I have been in love for 3 decades with her and with Christ. See the viewpoint? Even when the circumstances seem to turn to your disadvantage, see, the mastering the trick of positive living is going to have to, we're going to have to learn how to do things God's way. Not the ways of the world, not even the ways of your limited intelligence. The ways that God would want you to do things, not the ways of the world. It's kind of counterculture. Counterculture. There are a lot of philosophies and a lot of ideas going around the Ephesian believers and around that city of Ephesus. And there are a lot of philosophies. There are a lot of different types of religions. There are a lot of ways going on around you right here in Palm Beach County. You're exposed to them constantly. Paul gives us some ideas to reflect upon. First one is our character. There's your first one, our character. No longer live as the Gentiles in the futility of their thinking. Well, how does he not want us to live like them? Well, in the futility of their thinking. And some of that futility of their thinking is like there is no God, or there's multiple gods, or there's countless ways to heaven, or your truth is your truth and that's okay. In the futility of their thinking, they are darkened in their understanding. And listen, they are separated from the life of God. Separated from the life of God in verse 18. Because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. That's living like the Gentiles. That's living like the world. They're separated from the life of God. They're ignorant in this fact. Having lost all sensitivity. I heard a statistic many, 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 many years ago that by the time you get through school and out of high school, you have witnessed 50,000 murders and deaths. just watching TV and listening to the news? Are you becoming desensitized? Oh, yeah, you're getting indoctrinated into this world. I could promise you that. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge themselves into every kind of impurity. This isn't just sexually impure. This is all kinds of impurity. They're full of greed. Is greed an impurity? The world is dark, is insensitive, is filled with these impurities, greed. And listen, you're reading something written 2,000 years ago. And he's talking about people. People. He's writing to people, talking to them about people. People are still people. They have been people as long as there have been people. But they're supposed to be something new. There's supposed to be something different about you because you claim Jesus as your Savior, to no longer live like the world, but to be something new, created new. See, in your character and in your thinking, something is supposed to be different in the way that you think. You're being transformed by the renewing of your minds. Do you actually think differently? Do you actually find yourself a little bit out of odds with maybe even the mainstream of the world? That sometimes you actually feel as if you're running counterculture? Well, amen. Think differently about those that chase after the world, that chase after its fame, that chase after its lust, that chase after its greed, that chase after its worldly success, all those things that are so temporary. Do you think differently about politics? Do you think differently about war? Do you think differently about wealth and fame, money, power, and influence? Do you think differently about marriage? Do you think differently about God? Do you think differently about having a life of influence and impact? Do you think differently about service? See, here's your next slide. The world esteems value. God esteems values. Is insight, is spiritual insight worth anything? Probably according to the world, less and less and less and less and less. According to God, more and more and more and more and more. Just one way you're different? Is faith worth anything? Does faith have value? And exactly, how much is wisdom worth? Knowledge, discernment. What color is grace? What gender is mercy? The world esteems value. God esteems values. It's being counterculture. It's thinking godly culture. It's thinking kingdom culture. It's thinking like Jesus. And see, while you're managing your family and, you know, trying to advance your career and you're trying to make a name for yourself and make sure you got security and you can pay your bills and doing all the things, that's all well and good. Do not sacrifice your character. What good is it that a man gain the whole world and lose his soul? See, while you stay focused on family and career and making a name for yourself and doing all the things that you're supposed to be doing, God is at work within you. He's shaping you and leading you and testing you and guiding you and molding you and showing you how real he is in your life. Do not worry about these things. God knows that you need them. But he's shaping something that's eternal while we're chasing all the things that are temporal. He's shaping something within you. He's doing something amazing and new. God does this to create a new heart and a new mind and a new character. And dare I say it? Oh, dare I say it? Give me the next slide. You are transitioning. You're transitioning. Now, I know I just made a lot of people upset because they think they have a lock hold on that word, but I'm sorry, I transitioned years ago. I transitioned from who I was to who I am. From the old self and the old ways to the new self and the new ways. The old self used to tell lies and would fib all the time. The new self speaks the truth in love, come what may. The old self was quick to anger. The new self strives patiently towards peace. The old self thought nothing of robbing and stealing and taking. The new self is generous and hardworking. The old self was bent on revenge and wanted retaliation. The new self practices forgiveness, grace, mercy. And I'm still transitioning to a better version of who I am for God's glory. Not my glory, God's glory. The old self would talk too much. Maybe some of you still think I talk too much. Talk too much. I gossiped a lot. The new self speaks encouraging words into people's lives. The old self would react. Now the new self responds. The old self would go on impulse and emotions. The new self recognizes self-control and the movement of the Holy Spirit of God. The old self fulfilled the desires of the flesh. The new self walks worthy of the calling. The old self was full of sin and empty. The new self is washed clean, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The old self was incomplete. The new self made whole. Just like you, God's creating something new. Go shock some friends. Tell them you're transitioning. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by the deceitful, by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. This is our conduct. This is our conduct. I want you to grab hold of this as best that you can. Our character will determine our conduct. The input will determine the output, right? You heard this, right? Garbage in, right? We all know that. We get that. And what happens a lot around a church, particularly towards, you know, a pastor, towards that things that are happening in the church, everybody wants to judge conduct. They want to judge the conduct because that's what they see. They see the conduct. They see the conduct of a person and they say, Pastor, you need to deal with that person's conduct. And I'm not saying can't deal with the person's conduct, but I'm saying that's a byproduct. Do you understand? That's a byproduct of the character of a person. This is why God can go, I forgive them for what they do. They know not what they do. It's the character. God's interested in the heart. He goes way past the actions. He goes way past the conduct of a person and changes the heart. You change the character of a person, you will change their conduct. Right? And so oftentimes we judge conduct and go, well, their character is just awful. Well, there were times when Peter's conduct was pretty bad. And at what point would you judge Peter? When he says, hey, you're the Messiah. Beautiful. Oh, that's such the character. The next paragraph to Peter. Get thee behind me, Satan. You want the things of man, not the things of God. To Peter. And Peter denies. See, God sees character. You want the eyes of Christ? Look for character. Look past the conduct. Look past the conduct for something deeper. But our scriptures are pretty clear. Those that are claiming Christ, conduct looks different. Your conduct looks different. It doesn't look like it used to look. It's different. You have to put off some things and put on some other things, particularly when you're transitioning. You got to put some old stuff off and put some new stuff on. And sometimes it's like you really got to shake off the conduct. You just got to shake it off. That's not who I am anymore. I know I want to lie, but it's not who I am anymore. And you shake it off and you speak the truth in love. You speak the truth. I'm sorry. Did you backslide? Shake it off. Get back in the game. Shake it off. Let it go. Get back in the game. I'm sorry. Did some church friend, you know, irritate you and annoy you and hurt your feelings? I'm sorry. Shake it off. Get back in the game. There are some things you got to put off and some things you got to put on. I'm sorry. Did the news report again of another failed minister? You've just lost all your faith because of someone else's conduct? Shake it off. Shake it off. Another murder, another mass shooting, another rape, another infant death, another corrupt politician, another celebrity suicide? I'm sorry. Was the world not nice to you today? Shake it off. Why are you wearing this world? Shake it off. There's some things you got to put off and take off, and there's some things you better put on. This world, it is cold and it is cruel. Shake it off. Watch. The character of the world determines its conduct. What do you expect their conduct to be? What do you expect it to look like? What should yours look like? We can rise above this world. We can walk in a different way. Put off the anger. Put off the isolation. Shake off the excuses. Shake off the racism. Shake off the greed. Shake off the idolatry. Focus on God. This world is corrupt and evil. Shake it off. Somebody say, shake it off. See, when you shake it off, you better put something else on, right? You better clothe yourself with some righteousness and some holiness, right? Listen, generosity looks good on you. Clothe yourself with some kindness, hard work, and patience and integrity. Hey, stand out in a crowd. Be a light in the midst of all the darkness, and you stand out. Positive words and encouragement go a long way to encouraging a lost world. They go a long way in a testimony about what God is doing in your life. Fear of the Lord will bring you knowledge. Fear of the Lord will bring you discernment. Fear of the Lord will bring you insight. Fear of the Lord will bring you wisdom in all circumstances dealing with a dark and lost world. Put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The new self created. The new self created. The new self created to be like God. Behold, I am doing something new in you. And it doesn't look like anything else or anyone else ever. Behold, I'm doing something new. And you can't do it. You can't do it. The Holy Spirit of God within you. God does the work. See, again, something only God can do. Doing only what God can do. Creating you to be something new. For His honor, for His glory. God renewing you, God reshaping you, God transitioning you, God transforming you to be like Himself. Do you know the best example we have of being like God? Jesus. You know, in all the world, there is one example. Jesus. God Himself. God Himself. God transforming you to be like Christ. But you can't be Christ-like if you don't know what Christ was like. You are recreated to be righteous, recreated to be holy, to be set apart for His good works. Here's your next slide within our conduct. The world is changed by your example, not your opinion. One of the latest things I've been hearing about lately, within the last couple years or so, is how slanted the news is. Anybody else kind of catch on some of that? It seems like the news seems to be slanted. You can go way left. You can go, that would be your right. Or you can go way right, right? You could go either extreme. This has left a lot of folks, including me, pretty disgruntled. Why? Well, I just want to hear the report. I'm not really interested in your opinion. I can form my own opinion concerning politics, crime, right? Pollution, you name it. Just give me the report, right? Oftentimes, we need, are you ready? This will be something new. This should be in your life. You need a God slant. You don't need a political slant. You don't need a financial slant. You need a God slant. How is God seeing all this? Well, how is God at work in all this? What is He doing in your life? That's a God slant. And it's so much more purposeful, so much more meaningful than any kind of political slant or financial slant, right? Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ has forgiven you. Follow God's example. This goes into chapter 5. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. It's our community. Our community, there's your next one. We demonstrate the love of Christ to our community. Well, take a deep breath. Who is your neighbor? Who's your community? Those inside the church? Or those outside the church? Is Paul just talking about believers be nice to believers? Or is he talking about living like Christ? Sacrificing and serving the unbeliever. Isn't that a little bit unusual? I feel like I need to... No? Is that the wrong song? I don't know. That's the wrong song. Shake it off, baby. All right, so maybe, you know, we're not so large that we couldn't institute what I used to do in a church many, many, many years ago, that if your phone rings, like it did right now for Denise, and she's exiting to go answer, to speak, right? So one of the things we could do is just, you know, like Les, you know, we can just, we'll all just stop, and please answer, but you have to sing Jesus Loves Me. See, you can't get away with it, right? That way, it's kind of like, well, please, answer the phone. It must be important. Because they would know you were at church, right? Answer the phone. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Go ahead. How can I help you? I don't want to do this on my own. Can we do this as a church? Or is that just way too embarrassing and we don't want to pick on people like that? And no. All in favor of saying when someone's phone rings, we just go, oh, hey, Pastor, remember what we're supposed to do? All in favor say aye. Any opposed? You know why that is? Because their phone went off. That's what that is. There's one good way to avoid that embarrassment. I don't know. Is this loving our community or is this shaming our community? I don't know. This is why I do not walk that road alone. We're in this together. God is creating within each of us, for himself, an army of warriors. Troops ready to, such a harsh word, serve. To serve. He separates us out that we would think differently, that our character would be different, our conduct would be different, not to detach from the world, but to serve the world. He doesn't separate us out, right, just so that we avoid it. It's so that we can engage it. And you know what we do when we're transitioning? We're expressing an alternative lifestyle. We're expressing an alternative lifestyle. And many people need an alternative lifestyle. They're hoping for something else. They desire something else. They long for, they yearn for something else in their lives. And you present an alternative lifestyle in the way that brings hope, and peace, and encouragement, and love, and service. And who's speaking those words? Not the world. Very divisive. Very argumentative. They want to debate everything. They want to talk about a good idea. Why don't you just go do a good idea? I'm transitioning. Oh, I know this is a soundbite. Get ready. I'm transitioning into an alternative lifestyle. That's a great soundbite. I know it's going to end up on Facebook somewhere. Somebody's going to write it. Pastor, transitioning into an alternative lifestyle. Yep, been transitioning for 30 years. Not like the flesh embraces, not like the world, but a change in character and a change in conduct that honors God. One that dares to embrace the unbeliever, that dares to embrace and serve the world, that do not know. God is putting together a team of believers ready to advance, not shut down in fear, not isolate themselves in the fear of a culture and dealing with a society that's corrupt, not backpedaling in a shifting culture, but God's putting together an army that steps forward and presents something alternative and different to what's going on. And we're in this together to advance the kingdom of God. What are you fighting for? What do you get passionate about? Money? Sex? A bigger house? Another car? Listen, I've been there. I've done that. I've been like the world. I've transitioned. God is raising up people from every tribe and every nation and every tongue to preach the good news, to live the good news, to be an expression of Jesus. That's you, an expression of Jesus Christ. We need every man and woman and child to have repeated opportunities to respond to Jesus Christ. To respond to Jesus Christ. You know how a lot of people respond to me concerning Jesus Christ? Very negative. People will cross the street when they see the chaplain coming. People will avoid inviting me to the party because they don't want to minister there. You understand? People do that. They'll do that to you too, because you're living an alternative lifestyle. Just as God would want and desire. But you will have influence and you will have impact. And there are those that go, whoo, hallelujah, pastor, please come over to our house. There are friends that say, please come hang out with us. There are those. There are few, but there are those. Do you see? Run and chase after the world and be like the world and go hang out in the crowd. Or Jesus said, hey, the few of you, come follow me. Come follow me. I want to show you something different. I want to show you something new. I'm going to do some things that are amazing. The world's not even going to believe you. But I'm going to do it. You're going to be my witness and testimony. He's building an army of followers that will live life together, that will serve together, that will care for each other, will pray for each other, will call each other out, and hey, you got to sing it now. When your phone rings, Jesus loves me. He's putting together a family that will love each other, that will aid the hurting, that will calm the anxiousness of people. Through thick and thin and highs and lows and good reports and bad reports, births and deaths, disappointments and accomplishments, we walk this together. We all join in together. Some may run to the world. They may come in for a moment and go. Some may come and plant themselves and go, hey, you're sitting in my seat. It's a community of believers. It won't be perfect, but it will be valuable. Why? Because we esteem values, right? We esteem values. This is what we're looking for, the character development of a person that transforms conduct. That conduct will lead you into community. These believers won't have every answer, but they'll know who to turn to. They won't be the prettiest, but they will serve with distinction and with honor and with clarity of vision. The community of believers, you know, where the misfits fit. We're going to scatter, we're going to grow, right? And we're going to go. You're going to leave from here and go out into your mission field. That's what's going on. We can have all kinds of different team names, but there'll be one truth, one deep faith, one church. We may be scattered, but we will serve on every continent. We will serve on every nation in the world. We will invade corporations and sit on boards. We will have influence and shape decisions. We will teach and we will preach and we will build and we will dog people. We will love them. Regardless of whether they have bad breath and their hair's messed up and what kind of clothes they're wearing, we love them. If the world does not think that the Christian community loves them, we're doing it wrong. We have not transitioned properly. They may look weird, they may act weird, it's all okay because we're all transitioning. We may pray out loud in the streets, we may raise our hands in worship, we may kneel and praise and come to the altar. We may take communion. We may get anointed with oil. We could sit quietly in the corner seeking God. But through it all, God will be leading us, guiding us, teaching us, protecting us, because he is with us. He has imparted himself upon you, and he's trying to show you and work in you something new that's never been done before. And this community of believers already separated out, already marked by God, filled with the Holy Spirit, you are already empowered to conquer. See, here's your next slide. The community of believers serves the world. They don't detach themselves from it. Our community serves the world. We do not detach ourselves from it. We walk with God, not the things of the world. We walk in harmony with Christ, not with evil. We walk with power as the temple of God. Not in catering to foolish idols and chasing foolish idols. The community of believers walks in the light, casting out darkness. We have righteousness on our side that destroys wickedness. We are armed and ready to extinguish the fiery darts of any demon or devil that might come against us. We have weapons of defense. We have weapons of offense and of attack. Melinda and I were privileged to represent you this past week at district conference. 111 Alliance churches were there, serving, honoring, praising, coming together going, hey, what's going on in Tallahassee? What's going on in Miami? Hey, what's going on over there in Tampa? Hey, what's going on in Jacksonville? What's going on in Yeehaw? The Alliance family in Florida is alive and thriving. The sanctified in this sanctified holy ground called New Life Alliance Church in West Palm Beach, we're set apart for good works. This is a training ground, right? Training ground. Is this a safe haven for the saint, or a hospital for the sinner. This is a training ground where we sharpen our skills and we prepare to engage the world. This is where we go deeper with the Lord, where we get tuned up and fired up and get ready to face the cold, brutal, cruel world. And you're trying to live an alternative lifestyle. You've been empowered to do so. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, this place, this time, this day, this moment, we pray your Holy Spirit fall upon each and every one. Father, open our hearts, open our minds to receive that which you would have for us in this place. And Father, may any doubt be taken away. May any fear just be squenched by your Holy Spirit. That in this place, this day, we walk out new people with a recognition that we are transitioning into an alternative lifestyle for your honor and for your glory, to bring praise to your name. And Father, may you bring those around us that challenge us, that irritate us, that Father, that follow, that believe, Father, in us and through us, by your Holy Spirit, and in the name of Jesus, do your work. Amen.